Well, she's doing her best.
I'm just doing a little, you know.
There might be some shots of the wall. There might be some close-ups of things she thought was in focus that were not. But it's there.
You condescending fuck. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And joining us today in the studio, people are apparently writing in. They're tired of me. They're tired of Dave. They want a new Dave. So we thought we'd bring in David Fine as our guest this week. Ian, why don't you say, you give a pressie of David's resume.
Okay. You might know David from decorating his house for Halloween and putting up a whole bunch of great decorations. You might know him, yep, as the guy who has quality chocolate at Halloween.
Yeah.
You might know him at Christmas time. He puts up candy canes, giant,
that's right,
candy
glowing
canes out
candy
front.
Canes and, yep.
He does,
yep,
that. He is a very good driver. Yep. He also won an Academy Award. It's David Fine is here.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks for coming.
Add it in, like, applause.
Get closer to your mic.
Get closer to the mic.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry. Is this where you added in applause? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a smattering. We just put in a...
because
this is where the golf applause comes.
Usually sounds like golf.
30
yeah.
people here, and they're like zombies.
Yeah, well, this well, is, are we are doing this in the middle of an AA meeting.
Yeah. Right. I was hoping for a little... You know, the warm-up act.
Easy does it. Yeah.
You've had easy 48 episodes of warm-up act before we've gotten,
yeah,
to this one.
Yeah.
We're now at, now you were going to you said you had a complaint, actually, about the amount of episodes that, yeah, we've done. You were
what are we at now?
What episode
is this?
That's what we bring guests on the show is so they'll complain about us.
what episode is 40,
it?
This is
49.
This is episode 49.
So you're on the road to 50.
We're on the road to 50.
Yep.
And so it seems like a minute ago that you were doing this podcast, and I thought, oh, God, I'll listen to that. That's cool, because,
yeah,
I know you guys, you know, you're funny guys. I want to listen to your podcast. So I'd start listening, and then, you know, you can't, you got to sit down. It's not like the olden days where everybody kind of gathers around the radio.
Yeah.
And so you have to find the time to listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's all the other podcasts out there that we have to listen
to. They suck.
This American Life.
Crap.
And, you know, Graham Clark's and
garbage.
You know, so you have to fit them all in. So I'm trying to listen to your podcast. And then it's like, oh, I didn't get to that one this week. Suddenly you're at like podcast 30, podcast 35. And I get like depressed. I'm like, what's the point? I can't possibly keep up with this output. And I don't know, how do you keep doing this? It's
so what
just
you're
astounding.
What I'm hearing is that you want us to stop for a while so that you can catch up. And then we will continue on.
You nailed it. That's exactly what
we decided to do. The easiest way to get you to listen to our podcast, yeah, is to put you on it. So you now are,
yeah,
forced to listen to at least this episode because you're in the room.
This is the one I am not going to listen to.
And I don't know. I don't know if you knew this, David, but we're available on Stitcher Smart Radio.
We just got available on Stitcher, and Dave's got
to
throw a plug for
that. I
have
to keep throwing it in.
I just like the idea of people listening to the radio all in the room together. Like,
yeah,
are you 80? What the, what's that about?
The good old days.
Stitcher Smart? What is that?
Stitcher Smart Radio. It's an app you can download onto your smartphone, be it an iPhone, be it an Android, mm-hmm, phone.
Any phone that's
or Zoom,
any phone that's
got a
smart,
degree.
That's got a degree in smartness. You can download it, and then it will let you play it without Wi-Fi or cell service, so you can have the show on your phone and you can listen to it. It's basically like radio.
Oh, so it stores it.
It doesn't store it.
What?
Yeah,
that's
it
the thing.
It
just it Voodoo. Streams it,
yeah,
so you don't have to.
No,
take
but without
up your
Wi-Fi or cell phone,
yeah,
how can it? What's it using? A copper wire?
It also, yeah, it's also available in car stereos. So
wait a second, David. Are you saying that I could? But David's. Are you saying that I could strip my smartphone for copper wire and sell that?
You could sell it for quite a bit of money, I think.
Oh, that sounds great.
Because all the copper wire that's encased.
David Dedrick and I are both from North Delta. And, mm-hmm, one of the last times I was in North Delta, I was talking to an old friend of mine who was talking about how he stole copper wire. He was breaking into places and stealing copper wire.
Really? Because
that's what North Delta is all about.
When was he doing this? Like recently? Or?
About a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was
okay,
pretty good.
Okay, well, then
he's... And it was like in a kind of a braggy way. And
not
just
a
like,
shameful way?
Yeah, yeah. And just like...
I have
things,
to admit, it's,
yeah,
it's not,
yeah,
something I'm proud of, but I'm going to break this to you. It's like...
like I'm stealing copper wire.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can just take it out of the walls. It's like, no, you can't just take it out. You're stealing things. You can also walk into a store and take stuff off the shelf and run out the door as well. But,
yeah,
you know, what I'm saying is I have shady friends from my past.
Sometimes I download TV programs.
Legally?
That's all I'm going to say. It's in the copper wire area. That's all I'm saying.
No, I completely understand. Listen.
Do you say TV shows?
TV shows, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
You're talking about TV shows that you can watch for free on television?
Yeah, you know what it's come to with me is that I like the control that I have over the program when I download it, even though it's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can control the endings. Like if you don't like who wins in Law and Order, they let you change the endings if you download.
Well, you just turn it off before the show's over.
Yeah,
you can go back and find the person they're accusing that you like the most or dislike the most, and then you can just stop it there.
Yeah, I don't,
because
like
they usually
Law and
have
Order,
like three
so
different people that they. Who brought it up? Oh, Ian did. Sorry.
I did.
Yeah. Sorry about that, David.
Well, it's a pain in the ass. Like, my wife is in the room right now, and she will not be speaking because we'd have to pay her too much money.
Yeah, I can't afford it.
It's a weird situation. If we bring a woman into this, we have to pay her equal wages to what another woman would make, which is more than what a man would make in the podcast industry. That's the way this works.
What?
We
it's
cannot
not 30%
afford her.
Less?
Yes, that's the way it works. But whenever I'm watching a mystery show with Pia, she guesses who does it, like, in the first 3 minutes. Like, just out. And not just looking at the credits and going,
that's how I do it.
Fred Willard, he did it.
Wait a minute. Allison does that.
Yeah. It's annoying.
That's my wife.
That's why we should all just watch TV shows together as men.
See, my wife doesn't do that. What she does is she'll watch the show and I'll say, you've seen this one before. And she'll go, no, I haven't seen it. I'll say, yeah, you've seen this one before. And then 5 minutes before the show's over, she goes, oh yeah, this one.
And then forgets it immediately.
Yeah, again. After it's over.
Yeah.
It's a happy way to live.
But then your wife does do a lot of ether.
Yes, that's true. She does an awful lot of ether.
Ether. Is that something that's
she's got?
Wasn't that just legalized in Washington State?
Ether,
yes,
or
it was,
ether,
yeah.
Or ether.
Well, she's got this little stuffed toy from when she was a kid. She calls the Ether Bunny,
mm-hmm.
And you know, when times get tough, a little bit of huffing and right out, and then you can watch the same show.
It's
all
just
over again.
It's just an old stuffed animal that was soaked in ether. That's basically what it is.
And every date is a first date.
Yes, she'll never stop loving me. She never gets tired of me.
Now, David, this is confusing.
Yeah, how are we going to work this
look,
out?
Look, we've had this,
Davids,
guys,
here.
We've been through this before.
You can't point.
We've had David M. from No Fun on the show. Yep. We've done this two Dave situation
mm-hmm,
before.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I know you're both Davids. You are not Daves.
I'm okay with Dave.
I am too.
Oh.
Why don't you call us both Dave then?
Yeah,
okay,
that's
Dave,
easier.
Dave,
then
here's the way.
No, that doesn't solve the
no,
problem.
No, that doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what I'm going to do.
You could use my Hebrew name.
Oh, what is your Hebrew name?
Dovidol.
Dovidol. And David, what is your Christian name?
My Christian name is... What do you mean, what's my Christian... David is my Christian name. What is your Christian name?
Okay. I don't know. That was a setup. You could have done some funny name then.
Oh, I'm sorry. What if we do my French name?
Okay, what's your French name?
David.
Okay.
That's...
I get called David.
I was so
sometimes.
Disappointed.
I didn't even know that was the French name.
I was so disappointed. Like, if your name is Peter, you're Pierre.
Yeah.
John, you're Jean. You know? What? David. That's hardly any different at all. Like,
it's weird.
Okay, unfortunately, the recording stopped.
Not moving.
Yes, it's a clue.
Okay.
The recording stopped, and for whatever reason, we didn't notice. So we talked for quite a while and had a lot of laughs.
Oh, it was brilliant.
And everyone enjoyed themselves.
Well, we were getting into a discussion.
We all had
about...
a knee slap. So we were talking about names.
Right.
That my name is David in French.
That's right.
That your name, your name, Ian, which you maintain is confusing in Europe, but is actually merely a derivative of John.
Right.
Which is probably the boring name. There's a reason that John Doe is chosen as
I guess we know what someone's least favorite book of the Bible is.
What's that?
John.
John, yeah. The non-synoptic gospel. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. The non-synoptic gospel. That's right.
Easy for you to say.
How do you get Ian from John?
Yon.
Yon.
All right, here's my question.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I had British grandparents. My grandmother's name was Margaret. My mm-hmm. grandfather called her Peggy. How mm-hmm. do you get that from that?
Isn't that amazing?
No, it's not amazing. It's just
Margaret,
wrong.
Margaret and Elizabeth are two names that have so many derivatives. And we really should call my daughter Millis, because Millis is a name expert and can give you all of those things. She has her own blog, which is a name blog, which she writes about names every day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But I've never understood how you go from Richard to Dick.
Yeah, that's an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or how about Edward to Ted?
Yeah, just because
that seems odd, doesn't it? Wouldn't like Ward be something you'd want to say?
No, I think everything's wrong with the world. We can all agree with
how
that.
How about Edward becomes Ned? Like, why would that be?
I'm not sure if we cut this off before I started complaining about the amount of I's in the Scottish version of Ian.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
No.
All right, let me just say, there's too many damn I's in the Scottish version.
How many I's are in the Scottish version?
About seven.
There's seven I's.
Yeah.
So it's...
I mean, I think they like it because the letter I, the lowercase I, looks like a golf club and a ball.
Oh, that's right.
And they love golf in Scotland.
If it was
Scotland.
Upside down, it would look exactly like it. You're right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's the other way around, so it looks like a... What does it look like? I is actually.
Yeah, it looks like the letter I, pretty much.
Basically. So they're talking to you. They're going, oh, how's it going today there, Ian? Ian.
Yeah, when I first moved to England and I knew people called Ian with the extra I, yes. I thought, what is this place?
Why is there an extra I?
Yeah, I just, how?
Because
what's
it's
going on here?
It's
well, it's because that's the government. That's like that's your socialist type government there. They just like supply extra I's that people don't need and then they tax you for it.
No, they tax you
to death for it.
No, there was Ian's under Thatcher.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that band, Ian's Under Thatcher.
Yeah.
that was great. Now,
that's what it felt like to people living through the Thatcher era. It felt like eons were going by.
Well, that's good Thatcher. Political satire.
Well, thank you very much. I'm also in Spitting Image.
Now, when you lived in England, now one of us lived in England. That would be you. I think we missed the part where we assigned you guys nicknames. Like we were talking about, like who likes a hot beverage, who likes a cold beverage. David Dedrick enjoys a cold beverage.
I love a cold beverage.
David Fine enjoys a hot beverage. So David Dedrick is Chili D, and David Fine is Heaty Flash.
I don't
Flamo.
Like that. We need to work on that.
Fire Heaty brand.
Heaty Flash.
Hot D. Just hot D.
Hottie D.
No, just not hottie. That sounds a little bit too babyish.
Oh, what?
Hottie D.
Just, you would call a baby Hottie D?
I don't know. It's
that's a very sexy baby.
Well, we're not going there.
Okay. Now, you lived in England.
I did.
All right. how did you not end up getting the accent?
I didn't get the accent. I guess it's like ingrained in you. I moved there when I was 19.
I think you have a bit of the accent myself.
Where are you hearing that? Like, what's he saying that sounds
well,
like
I just think, well, particularly when I first met you, like, you've been here for a while now. Did you move directly to Vancouver from – did you move from England to Toronto?
No, England's direct to
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
And when I first met you, I thought you had a little bit of that sound of someone who, you know, you weren't totally going over.
Some pretentious.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Pretentious.
Yeah.
I've often –
you had a lot of doilies down that were unnecessary.
I've often been asked that, actually. People have often said to me, do you have an accent? Like,
and you said, yes, everyone has an accent.
I said...
You racist.
No, they said, I think you sound like you have a bit of a British accent. And I said, no, I'm just educated. So usually that doesn't get a smile. I don't know why.
Normally that gets a beating.
Usually it ends up with me in baseball bats, which is why my nickname is Bally D.
But did you ever find yourself slipping into the British accent parlor? Are you just – looks like you're staring directly into the microphone right now like you're going to see something
well,
amazing.
Well, the microphone's not pointed at you, Ian, and I have to respond to you,
yeah,
you
using
without,
the
without,
peripheral
you have
vision.
To pretend that you
without
aren't,
looking at
yeah,
you.
Pretend you're on the phone.
Because I want to do this.
Don't do that.
Don't
no
do that,
hear you. Don't do
no,
that.
No. But
pretend you're on the phone.
Yes.
Pretend you're
right.
on the phone.
Okay.
And you're talking to us on the phone and – he asked you a question.
What was the question again?
You're going to respond to it. What was the question?
The question was,
why are we doing this show?
Yeah, pretty much. The question was, here's the thing. As an actor, as someone uh-huh. who likes listening to voices and picking up accents.
A professional.
When I go to England, it is very difficult to not slip into the accent
okay.
for me.
Yeah.
I have that problem at Chinese restaurants when I'm ordering.
Do you really?
Yeah, because they're standing there and they're talking to you with a very strong Chinese accent. And I don't do it to mock. I just I hear that and they say, you know, you want rice or whatever. And I invariably respond because I've heard them say it in that way. And I'm not mocking. I just want to make this clear. I'm not doing that to mock.
But if you were mocking, what would it sound like?
I'm not going to do that here.
Yeah, if you were going to mock.
So what
we
I'm trying to say is
walking in a Chinese restaurant.
I accidentally you know, pick up the twang. So I understand that you would do the same thing, Ian, in England when you're surrounded.
I just want to go back to the Chinese restaurant. So you're ordering. You're like, oh, we'll have some chow mein.
Right. It's Christmas. You're ordering at the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And we'll have a bit of, oh, so sorry, no chicky, no laundry.
Yeah.
Oh, so right. Is that what you start to? Okay.
Yeah.
That seems odd to me.
Yeah, that does seem very racist.
Ancient Chinese secrets.
Ancient Chinese secrets. Ah, woman who jumped for who put laundry to church.
I am back in the hell way.
But you're when you go, Ian, when you go to England, you affect a bit of an English.
No,
accent.
I have to actively fight it. But it's like when you're talking. Say you're talking to an old person, and an old person is saying, like, talking slow to you. You don't start speeding up your dialogue and get really crass. Yeah. You slow it down, or you're talking to like a little kid. Okay. You start talking, you know, a little bit to their level. It's a natural, polite thing to do.
Ian.
Yes.
Settle down.
That's it.
There you go.
Man, that sounds like about everyone I dated in college.
What is interesting, though, is that when you start to speak quickly to this old person, is you go to a 30s dialect.
True.
Which they would have been used to, so they would have understood you. They would have been like, oh, it sounds like you're on the radio. Hello, everyone. Mr. and Ms. America, all the ships at sea. Hello, everybody.
Here's my question on that. Was that just because we're running out of time? Like, they were always running out of time on the movies or whatever, and so they had to get as much movie in as possible?
See, they had a little thing called editing, Ian. They could do it as long as they wanted, and they could edit it down later.
People talk, like, when they left the movie theater, did they keep speaking at that incredible speed?
Yes, they
did.
That is correct.
David knows he's in his 80s. He remembers listening to radio around with
his
family.
This was a style that...
Ah, yes.
No, it was the way people spoke at that time. Just the way now people speak in a kind of California drawl. A lot of people have taken on a different accent than you would have found 30 years ago.
Have we just got less to say now? Or we're just more relaxed? There's less chance of getting polio, so we're less scared? Like, what's the reason for the slowing down of the speech?
Just different regions.
It's not like we've got more time because we're so connected and wired. We're always checking email and doing everything. So
that doesn't mean you're busy.
Well, it's busy doing useless stuff.
It doesn't mean we don't have time.
I have to check Facebook. Excuse me.
Yeah, I do too.
Someone's wrong on Twitter. I must correct them. I do find, though, when I do go to England, it's a much more chatty culture in general than here. We're much more reluctant
I find the opposite.
I find
Mr.
the opposite,
Boone.
Mr. Boone.
No, maybe people have more to say to me because I'm interesting.
Two Daves against one Ian one eye.
Yeah. Okay, explain what you guys think with it.
Okay, you go on the tube in London and everybody's like buried in the newspaper like this. You go to a
Well, they're not buried in the newspaper anymore. Actually,
I actually
elbowed my wife at one point to say, look, there's someone reading a magazine on the train, because most people now are buried in their phones.
Oh yeah, tick.
Yeah.
Or you go to the supermarket. And
they don't talk
to. They look like zombies.
Yeah.
I go to Safeway or IGA or Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Or you know.
I
could go on.
A variety.
You're banned from a lot of supermarkets, so you must move on.
So you have to move around.
Mister,
and
there I need as many grapes as I want as long as I pay for the stamps.
We're gonna change his nickname to Checky Bouncy D.
No, but you go in and they're genuinely chatty and not in that sort of like vapid
fake
McDonald's
have
a nice day type of thing.
Oh,
they're just generally outgoing and chatty. I always feel like when I'm feeling a bit lonely because I work at home, I go to Safeway and just buy something.
Well,
it's like I've made a friend.
I live in a fairly small town. I mean, it's connected.
Small is it?
It's so small that when I go to Safeway, the people who work there have seen my daughters grow up. Like, they knew them when they were babies and now they know them when they're teenagers. And it's interesting to know someone in that, you know, they're just cashiers. They're not like we have a relationship, but they've known us that long that, you know, they can see the girls and say, oh, you're grown big. And I remember when you were this and you know, and they speak, you know, there's that personal.
You take them to Safeway?
Yeah. Why?
Well, I don't know. My daughter never goes to Safeway with me. I say, come on, you want to go to Safeway? She's like, get real.
Well, she knows you're a thief.
Oh, that's funny.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing.
You know, when the cops have to be called.
Constantly running away with you. Quick, let's go.
I was saying go along for the grapes and tossing them, bag of peas, and then run out the door.
She's part of the, you know, the deal. Like, she starts crying, distracts them. It's the whole thing.
We've seen paper movies,
guys,
right?
So your daughter doesn't go? Yeah, my daughters love to go shopping. Like with me, like if I say I'm going to the store.
When
like,
she does, she'll get some cheese or some nice thing she likes. And it's good. There was a time when we could entice her to Costco's because of all the free samples. But now, I don't know. She's just moved on. It's just,
It's over for you.
Yeah. To be fair, she also is on her way to being a pop music star as well. She's part of a band. Do you want to plug the band?
She's part of a band called Days on Mars with her friend Maren King.
Which is a really good band. Their album is available on the online. She is her band has opened for Titmouse, my group, over at the Cosmic Zoo, and pretty fantastic.
And there actually,
has a concert coming up.
She's they've got a concert coming up this Saturday night, which may be last Saturday or ages ago, depending on when this is broadcast.
It's actually probably this show is coming out on Saturday.
This show will be dropping on Saturday.
This evening, so get down to commercial to see her perform.
All right, we'll put a link up for that. Now, David, what bands are your daughters in? Because you're a music fan, so what's
neither of my daughters. Well, my youngest daughter, Millis, is amusical. Like, she could care less about music. She likes One Direction because they're cute and funny. So she likes to watch.
Are you familiar with One Direction? Hot Dave.
I am not.
I like that you're relaxing about 4 feet away from the mic. My other daughter, Millis, my younger daughter, Phyllis, my older daughter, Millis, loves music of all varieties. And she loves Sufjan Stevens and Sloan and – oh, I forgot to say Sufjan. Oh, anyway, she loves all that kind of stuff. And she also started getting into like modern music because previously she was listening to music that no one of her age group listened to. All her music was
Al Jolson. And stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Meh, meh. She would be constantly, don't you guys love that? So we should do that for Airband. Meh, meh.
Yeah, oh, everyone put on the blackface. Yeah. Yep.
They're like, no, can't go there. Can't go there, Millis. Neither of them have any musical interest, like in terms of playing instruments. And like, I strummed the guitar as a teenager.
Right.
I made a racket in my bedroom.
You were in a band.
I was in a band. I played trumpet in band in school. I played for 5 years.
What was your band's
name
again?
Cannon.
Named after? Wait a second, David. Hot David. What do you think his band was named after?
Cannon? What was it named after?
Yeah.
Packle Bells?
No, CANNON.
Okay. That's how I've spelled Packle Bells the whole time.
But you're wrong.
Hot David has just written down on a piece of paper, William Conrad's TV show, Cannon.
That is correct, sir. You are correct. That's right.
I remember that. God, that's a big fella.
Yeah. So it was a big band. We played a really noisy racket. It was basically what we played. It was kind of the pre-grunge noise making that everyone was into.
So you were in a band. Your daughters are not in a band. Were you, Hot David, were you in a band?
No.
Well, okay. So where is this bandness coming through? How did this all happen?
What, you mean how come Lily's musical?
How come she's incredibly talented? Where's this all coming from?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not musical. I like music. I love music, in fact.
Okay.
My wife, Allison, likes music, but she's not especially musical. She'd like to be able to play the guitar, but she's working on it.
Me too. I played it for a long time.
At this point in her life, I think it's like either... You know, it's okay. I shouldn't go there.
Music playing, it's like drawing. I mean, you can like drawing.
Yeah.
And you can draw a lot, and you can never master it the way someone who has that facility to draw can. The same with music. I mean, you can love to want to play guitar, and I did. I took guitar lessons, I played in a band, but I just never developed the facility to be a guitar player. You know,
I took guitar lessons, but. When I was very young, but they conflicted with watching cartoons on Saturday morning.
I had that same situation.
Really?
Yeah.
The only time I could get the lessons was at like 11 on a Saturday morning. And for me, Saturday morning, when I was young, watching the cartoons from about 7:30 in the morning till about noon when they sort of dropped off and became, documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
Hinterland, Who's Who, or whatever. But that block...
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Yeah, that block was like, you gotta... That was like, I just love that. And I remember always in September, what new... You know, there's a new show with Aquaman and the Green Lantern in it together. I can't wait to see that. And so, you know, you'd have to watch these things. So we had guitar lessons, and it was conflicting with this. And so I did it for a couple of weeks, and I just thought, I can't. I'm missing my show.
Because there was no way to record that.
There's no way to record them
unless you actually held a tape recorder up to the TV.
If that's what you loved a lot.
There was no recording anything. It was stuff.
stuff that was on TV, you watched it, and if
watched
you missed it,
once, it yeah.
you missed
that
it.
That was the end
it
of the
story. It was
like
life, yeah.
Yeah. And
just speaking quickly about Hinterland Who's Who, you ever think there's any animals that wanted to get onto Hinterland's Who's Who that didn't make the cut and just like look at the Who's
show?
Who every year and just like, for fuck's sake.
Do you know yeah. what?
Just did not.
How do I get on the Who's Who?
Who do you have to blow?
Yeah. There'd be like the platypus writing in. They'd be like, I'm sorry, you were not in the Hinterland.
Yeah.
Only in the Hinterland can you be in the Who's Who. If you're not in the Hinterland, I mean, like a crow. The crow would be like, can I get it? You're a city bird. You're not in the Hinterland.
Do people take a hike? Do people listen to this podcast from like other outside of Canada? Because I think I get that reference. Do you need a link or something?
To
we'll
what?
Probably put it. We'll probably put a link up. But you know what? I think nowadays, if people don't understand something, they will look it up on their mobile device.
Whilst listening.
They have a Google. Yeah. They have a. Well, I just want to say about guitar lessons. I had to quit my guitar lessons because my marks in school were bad. So my parents made me quit taking guitar lessons so that my marks would improve.
And did they?
No.
Very good.
Because it had nothing to do with, I mean, the fact that I was bored on my skull in school had nothing to do with.
I was learning guitar in junior high school, which was shitty that I just kept skipping out of school. So I missed guitar lessons as well.
Yeah.
And what's, you know, you missed, so your marks were an issue.
Yeah.
And how has that impacted your life, your high school marks?
How has not doing well in high school impacted my?
Yeah.
Well, not at all. Cause
are there any opportunities that you've missed because of
lack of biology?
Lack of biology? No.
Were you going to be a brain surgeon or something?
No.
Wait, they teach brain surgery in high school?
At my high school, they did.
Well, that's quite a high school. You must have gone to a technical school.
It was an alternative school.
You
in
must
Toronto.
Have gone to a surgical school.
And
I think we all did the right amount of dicking around, though. We were talking about like watching TV and watching cartoons.
Oh,
like
yeah.
to the outsider, people don't know what you do for a living. You work as you've done animated films, short films, and TV series in the animation world.
I'm talking about a couple of TV now. Series. Yeah,
it's
that's
true.
Right. Your Bob and Margaret. Your Bob's Birthday was a wonderful film. You did. You get all the others that I don't even need to tell you, folks. You know what I'm talking
Go
about.
Go on.
But like the amount of dicking around you did watching the animated stuff,
yeah.
again, to the outsider, to the parent coming downstairs sighing heavily and shaking their head,
yeah.
that would look like your Johnny Wasto time. And yet, what fuel went into your car that was needed for you to drive to where you are today?
Yeah.
Metaphor complete.
I like that metaphor. That was so...
Well, it would look...
And you listening to your music, your rockin' roly music, you know, that affects who you are.
Well,
me doing my diddly doodles.
It wasn't just me. I mean, me sitting and drawing in my room for hours on end. That's what, you know, the music was part of that because music was the background to it. But
I like Ian's story that I've heard about your degree course where you owed some money to get – well, you know it, right?
Okay. Well, tell me – give me more of that because I've bailed out of a lot of things in my life. Degree course?
Was,
oh, you're talking about theater. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Theater.
I studied theater at Douglas College, yes. And
you owed some money to get
What happened was
– No, let me tell the story, okay? I know what happened.
Jeez.
Go ahead.
Fucking producers, eh? Taking control of the project even if it's my damn life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to theater school because you're supposed to do something after school besides, you know, or you have to get a job. So screw that.
Yeah.
So went to theater school and they didn't charge me, it turned out, for one of the final courses I took.
Okay.
And they said, oh, hey, listen, we could either charge you or you could just not pay us. But if you don't pay us, you don't get your grade. You don't graduate.
Yeah.
And I realized, well, there's no need for a theater degree. This will never come up.
Yeah.
So I'll just take the money. And I've already taken the classes, so that benefit mine. They went,
I thought it was interesting because actually taking the classes meant that you have done, like you've gained the knowledge you need.
Yeah.
It's just whether you get that piece of paper.
But they felt
the
degree was the
money would be more useful to your life.
Absolutely. And I was
than the degree.
And I was gonna keep a nice record of every time anyone ever in my life asked me for my theater degree or proof of. And I've auditioned for many a show and many, you know, a live show, TV, radio, whatever. Never come up.
Yeah.
The only disadvantage if I was trying to like maybe teach in that same school, then a degree would help.
Yeah, that would help.
Or if you were going to teach in that same school and they were going to pay you, they'd so say you kind of owe us some money.
We would like that $250.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring up the time that I got out of Young Drivers of Canada by faking an eye injury. Which was
I haven't heard that story.
There's many times I've needed to pay rent, and so I paid for a certain amount of classes in Young Drivers of Canada.
It was a gift. It was a gift too.
It was. Was it a gift?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I remember that part.
I don't remember that part, but I took like about three of the lessons and I went, I really need some money. So I went and I'm like, can I just have the money back for the rest of the lessons? They went, well, we never do that. So I went in with a patch over my eye and said I'd been in a chemical accident and I had no depth perception now. So I wasn't allowed to drive. And they went, okay, we'll give you your money back.
And you faked that?
With a patch that I bought from a costume shop that like clearly no doctor. I mean, it's really, you know, Pirate Jim. It was like just a little patch because I didn't have a lot of money tied with a string.
Skull and crossbones on it.
And I was like, what'll happen if they want to see my damaged eye? But I thought no one will ask to see the eye.
Wait a minute, though. No. Pirate Jim, did you say?
Yeah, Pirate Jim.
Is that a common pirate name? Jim?
Yeah.
Yep. Bloody Jim?
That's the pirate's Christian name.
Red Jim?
Okay.
Black Jim?
Yep.
Not in my pirate experience.
Okay. Don't make me start singing the shanty.
The famous Jim
Treach. We all fear him, the mightiest pirate in the sea. We're all seamen. Yeah. That also means something else. You know, it's that song.
You don't want to go to... No one wants to go to Jim Jones' locker.
Nope.
Oh, drink the Kool-Aid and go to the locker.
I don't know. Isn't that like saying Pirate Leslie or something? Like,
actually, Pirate Leslie would be terrifying. Because if you had that casual name,
you wouldn't know which one.
Holy cow, you'd be a badass pirate.
But not only that, guy or girl, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
You'd be like, is this a crazy pirate girl?
But if you were Captain, or if crazy you were Captain Pinkbeard, holy cow, that guy would be a badass. Because he would have to be for that kind of name.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking like...
But it just turns out he really likes bubblegum.
Yes.
And it's just caked on his beard.
If your name has blood in it, oh, big fucking deal. Yeah. I mean, you're just coasting on your name.
Yeah.
You know, Bloodbeard actually would be a good name for a pirate.
Bloodbeard.
Bloodbeard.
No, it wouldn't be a good name.
It's just a guy that flosses badly. And so that's what comes up. He's got horrible gingivitis.
Like they, terrible name.
They call him that to make fun of him. It's like, oh, Bloodbeard there. Because he can't, like, it's all full of soup and stuff.
Yeah. So when you were watching these cartoons as a young man, were you also doodling and whatnot? Were you putting two and two together and going, maybe I could make this kind of business?
I wasn't nearly as practical as that. I just loved watching Saturday morning cartoons of any ilk. And
That's why I quit soccer.
And in actual fact, my animation work bore little relation to anything I saw on TV because I always found that, quite apart from Rocket Robin Hood, which was pretty dire.
by the way, I always like to mention, if anyone wants to buy Rocket Robin Hood, it is available for $1 million, and you also get with that Max the 2,000-year-old mouse. It is available for sale online. The rights complete to Rocket Robin Hood. You can make your own movie. You can do whatever you want. If you got $1 million, if I was a crazy millionaire, I'd buy it. Anyway, please continue.
Okay, something to think about.
And by the way, if you also look at the DVD collection, it apologizes on it for the quality of the cartoons you're about to watch. It goes, some of these aren't the best.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're not so great.
You might have seen some of these in Spider-Man.
Yeah, some of these have been doubled up. I think one's a strawberry shortcake. I don't really know. But sorry.
Well, I was just going to say. That's...
Take it, Hot D.
Hot D. The good thing this is radio. or is it? What is it?
It's
podcast world.
It's patio.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Because you were asking if I sat and watched, you know, Spider-Man and started drawing Spider-Man and that led to a career. No, not at all. Because I always felt completely disconnected personally to that kind of stuff. It was when I saw more esoteric work or... I guess more quirky stuff like Terry Gilliam's work in Monty Python or NFB short films and things like that that got my juices going in terms of I want to make films like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and about what time was that kicking in for you? What age were you making the turn to, hey, the alternative quirky NFB stuff?
I guess about 15 years old.
That's a good age to be switching over, switching gears.
Yeah.
It is, I think. That's about the age where, you know, you start, for me, reading comics, you start reading the different weirder comics.
And you kind of discover I was interested in animation when I was a teenager. Like, it was something I wanted to do. But I quickly realized that I didn't have the patience to do, like, stop motion animation and to, you know, and also, you know, you have to buy a camera. You know, you have to have all this access to equipment, which I didn't have. I didn't have that kind of...
And well, my daughter was just making a film this weekend.
And, you know, they had an SLR that did video, and they had some lights from school and everything, and it was quite sophisticated. And for one shot, they needed to use a projector, like a character was watching a movie. So they borrowed my 8mm movie projector that I had when I was 15, and I still have it, and projected on the wall. And I thought, oh, that's kind of everything kind of what goes around comes around kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd make movies then with film, and you'd wait a week to get a process and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's so different now.
I made one with my dad when I was about 7, a stop motion little film of a clown throwing a hat on his head.
Okay.
And then he was going to be attacked by aliens and there was going to be a bloody fight. But we only got to clown with hat on his head because the light just got too hot. It was one of those, you're running it and you're shooting it. Just like, okay, that's been 3 minutes. We got to turn this light off and wait an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you back off. Then you come back and you shoot a bit more and, you know, you can shoot for another like 3 minutes. Now it's getting way too hot again. Back off, wait an hour. It was a long process. It makes me feel old to do the old, you know, you guys, you don't, but I look at the technology my mom has in her free tablet that she just got for like opening a bank account or something. I'm like, you've got full fucking editing software. I don't say that to my mom, but I'm just going like, I remember when we got the Avid system in at CBC and it was like, hey guys, non-linear editing. What? So it doesn't go down a degree every time you do it? Yeah. Holy shit. This changes everything. Now, again, my mom's getting it for free in her tablet. She's just recording stuff. Flippity, flippity, edity, edity. There you go. How long does it take to do that? Just a couple seconds.
What? She's using it for that? That's a sophisticated mom.
Well, she's doing her best.
I'm just doing a little... You know,
there might be some shots of the wall. There might be some close-ups of things she thought was in focus that were not. But it's there.
You condescending fuck.
Language.
That's the title of this episode.
Yeah,
oh, I see. It is called "You Condescending Fuck."
Fair enough.
We got to work it in somehow to the thing.
Yes.
So you never thought, like, I want to work on the Aquaman show or the Green Lantern show or whatever. Good for you. Nothing good, nothing bad against working on those kind of things, but that wasn't your thing.
Not even remotely. I always felt like
it probably seems
too
far away from you. Like,
yeah,
it's in
especially
California,
Disney and
yeah.
Warner Brothers and all those kind of Bugs. I used to love Bugs Bunny.
Sure,
of course. We all did.
Yeah,
but I never connected. It never got the spark until I saw stuff where I thought, that's the kind of thing I would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
What was one of the NFB films you can remember seeing that just hit your buttons?
You know, there's a number of them, but I think one film, and I actually just something else that comes to mind because I was just asked to write a little bit an article about what has inspired me. And one thing was actually when I'd watch the Oscars telecast and when they'd have the short film nominees, they'd show little clips of them. And there was no way to see these films because there was no internet and they certainly weren't shown on television or in theaters. So really, you'd just get an inkling of these weird animated shorts that were being made somewhere in the world that were nominated for Oscars. And they'd show little clips of them. You'd see little bits of like plasticine animation or some weird animation under sand. I thought, wow, I gotta find out about this stuff. This is so interesting. But one of the NFB films that I saw when I was younger that just blew me away in terms of storytelling, in terms of technique, in terms of being so completely different than anything else that I'd ever seen before was The Street by Caroline Leaf.
Okay.
And that film, there was a number of years ago, there was a survey of filmmakers or animators, like what was their all-time favorite film.
Yeah.
And that one got voted number one. And number two was Disney's Snow White.
Wow.
And so that was like incredible thing that in terms of just that assessment. But, you know, so that's one view. Probably in another, you know, survey, Scooby-Doo would be number one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
anyway. I think it's maybe a generational thing. So if you had another generation of animators, you might have a different response.
The Street, it's painterly. It's like a living painting. The story, it's based on a Mordecai Richler short story. And since he's not around right now, I'll comfortably slag him off because he's not going to chase me down. But it's one of those instances where the film is actually far superior to the book.
Okay.
And it's spine chilling. It's so moving and beautiful and well acted and well animated. And when I saw that, I thought,
I got a whole new sense of what you can do with animation and other films at the NFB, but that one in particular is one of my all-time favorites. So you can watch it for free at nfb.ca, so I urge you to do that.
We'll put up a link for
And by the way, if you do watch it, and give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. Am I an idiot or am I right?
I'm thinking you're probably
right.
Not
or is he right?
I love that. I love that. Like in almost any field, like that moment where you see something and realize that you can do it. Mm-hmm. Like you know, I've seen that in so many ways in comedy where you watch a show and just go, oh shit, you can just do that. You can do that, and that's a thing. Because you know, when you start off, you think like animation is just Scooby-Doo, is just whatever this. It's Snow White. Well, that's impossible.
Yeah, it's
there's
a
no
big
way
impersonal company doing this thing that I can't.
That's right. And it's the same thing with like comics. You know, mm-hmm. You think comics is either it's EC, it's that. Well, I can't do that or this. But then you see someone do a personal comic about something about their life, like a Harvey Pekar, and go, oh, yeah, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can pull mm-hmm. one of those things off. And it's those are the moments that are just thrilling.
Yeah, and it's like that with comics because there's all the, you know, we grew up with a lot of the very traditional comic books that we all read, you know, DC, Marvel, Archie, whatever. And then all of a sudden there was an explosion of all kinds of different comic books, graphic novels, things that just pushed the boundaries and brought in a whole artistic community that wouldn't have fit into those venues at all. But
yeah,
and then that's really inspiring for people too.
It's weird when I look at old like there's this fellow Cliff Nesteroff who has a wonderful blog called Beware of the Blog and does interviews and shows clips of old stand-up comedy, and up until about the late 70s. Like stand-up was very, very different. It wasn't personal. You wouldn't tell a lot of stories about your own life ever. And then that all changed. And once like one or two people started doing it, then it's just amazing seeing how all the popcorn starts popping. And then, you know, and again, there's always like the bad version of the new thing. But then it grows and becomes the new thing as well. And like stand-up especially has like changed so radically. It's weird. Yeah. When we were in Germany, my wife, Pia and me, we met a fellow who's one of the top comedians in Germany. And he was saying how stand-up comedy had not arrived in Germany the way we have it now until, geez, it was like the 90s, like mid-90s. Yeah. Traditional stand with a microphone, just tell jokes. No, they'd have cabaret shows. You'd do sketches. You'd have come out and do a crazy character for a period of time. But just a guy going, let me tell you about my day. No dice at all. Does not exist.
But wouldn't you say, and if you look
does
at the 70s.
Does not exist?
That's right.
If you look at the 70s, there were comedians who were working in that vein. I mean, Richard Lewis, I don't think you'd say he was an impersonal comedian, but he was doing stuff in the 70s, through mm-hmm. the 70s, right?
In there Germany?
No, I'm just saying.
No, Richard Lewis would probably stay out of Germany.
Yeah, I think probably. He would, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a reason why all those people you're describing as who were impersonal and kept everything, you know, didn't have that style, and why Richard Lewis, we still know Richard Lewis. He's someone who spanned that over that time, you know, because he's one of the pioneers. It's interesting because obviously, yeah, it's.
And now currently we're doing it with this podcast nonsense. We go like, well, you know.
We're pioneers?
No, we're not. We're a little bit,
we're at front of this.
No, we're about like the kids that the Little House on the Prairie folks had. We're those folks. You know, we've saw someone else make it through the wilderness and we're like now trailing behind a little bit. But the idea that, you know, it's just people talking on a microphone, that you can just do that. That's a thing.
Do you want to hear our ranking on Stitcher Smart Radio?
No.
There's 15,000 shows. You want to know our ranking?
Okay. Oh, I do.
I'll tell you later.
No, what is it? What's our ranking?
It's 5,451.
There you go.
That's not out of how many?
Out of 15,000.
That's pretty good going.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
A couple of boobs from
yeah,
Canada.
A couple of idiots. Don't know what they're doing.
And what's
called the show
again?
Called? Sneaky Dragon.
Sneaky what?
Sneaky Dragon.
Dragon what?
Sneaky Dragon Sneaky.
No, the radio thing.
Oh, it's called Stitcher Smart Radio.
Can you spell that?
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Stitcher?
Yeah.
Smart Radio.
Yeah. Or is this like the app is just called Stitcher?
Oh.
I've
never heard of that.
Well, you're on it.
Now
you are right now.
You are right now. Right now.
You're living in it. You're living the dream. You're riding the snake. Yeah, you're on it, man.
If your dream was to ride a snake, which frankly sounds a little phallic, but I'm not going to judge you.
What's phallic about a snake?
What's phallic about riding a snake?
Yeah.
I think it's the question you're asking.
Yeah. Do you want? Can I excuse myself? I got to go ride the snake.
Ride the snake. It doesn't sound good. I'm just saying to you, Ian.
And I just want to say, this is a guy we got here who puts penises into his animation.
That's okay.
Doesn't everybody?
I just want to say penises, I find a little phallic.
Penises, yeah. I think penises
are
a phallic symbol as well as obelisks.
Now, just a quick question on that. Your short film, Bob's Birthday, which won the Academy Award for, I think, Best Musical.
That's trying to say that you are the first person we've had on the show who won an Academy Award.
Wait, how about, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
But so there's nudity in there. There's full frontal male nudity.
Yeah.
Now, and then it went to TV. Was there full frontal male nudity on the television version when it became Bob and Margaret?
Well, yes, there was actually. And at first it was funny because at first we got resistance from that kind of thing. It's not that we, you know, we're seeking, going out and attempting to put nudity in gratuitously.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
But you know, we thought, you know, you had to show the strip bar.
You had to show the strip club.
Yeah.
You had no choice.
It could happen. But at first they said, no, you can't do that. We can't. Oh, it was on global television here.
Yeah.
And
I remember watching on Teletoon. That's where I watched Bob and Mark.
Because you're not that old. You're just a youngster.
Is Global the one that Moses Zimmer owns?
No, Global was Izzy Asner.
Asper? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Lou Asner, sorry.
That guy. Yeah. It was Lou Asner.
What network does he own in Canada?
Lou Grant owned Global.
Oh, yeah. Ed Asner.
God. Let's keep saying names.
Let's keep
saying funny names.
You really want me on your team at the pub quiz, don't you?
Yeah. with a steel trap like that.
Anyway,
okay.
They said they didn't want that kind of stuff because this is like regular television.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, while we're in production, they suddenly went, wait a minute. We do actually want that stuff because that'll like cause some controversy.
Controversy, so, yeah.
Could you show some penis?
Yeah.
Could you do that?
Yeah.
Could you wang it up?
Yeah, wang it up. That's the industry expression, isn't it?
They want to wang Chung tonight. Yeah. They told you.
And so it was like, well, we don't have any cause for that in this episode. You could make something with a penis.
Can I just say, when they said Wang Chung, you started using a bad Chinese accent?
We're going way back. I don't even know if that got recorded.
Oh, it might not have been.
So it's like, what a
reference. Sorry, what a callback. To what the hell is he talking about? Can I just explain? No, just go on.
So,
it's probably good that got erased.
So, yeah. This is still going, though.
We're still going.
So there was nudity on television. And I know that when Bob's Birthday, the short, was shown on Cartoon Network, they actually obscured Bob's
genitalia
with a Canadian maple leaf.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And it was like a fig leaf.
Someone had to follow it around his groin.
I guess my question on that then is that the only Canadian sitcom to have – well, I'm going to go North American. Is that the only North American sitcom to ever have full frontal male nudity in it? Because I cannot think of any other example, but either animated or non-animated.
Sitcom Educating Rosie.
Had full front.
What? I want to know. Let me just break down what joke just happened here. Educating Rosie. Yes. So was that like...
I conflated Educating Rita.
Rita with?
With.
Coming Up Rosie?
Coming Up Rosie.
I thought that was a reference to the old 70s show, Coming Up Rosie, on CBC with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Wow. Sorry.
Gilda Radner.
That got really obscure. David, Hot D, I'm so sorry that got so obscure in here.
What can I say?
Everyone, we're cracking the window. It got Bali a little obscure
D,
in
Bali,
here.
Bali D likes the deep cuts. Bali D likes the deep cuts.
Are you Bali D now?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. No, I think that probably is the case. Like, I know in sitcoms there was Dream On, which had a lot of female nudity, but never
what?
Any. Never.
I've
any...
never seen that show.
Yeah,
Dream On. Yeah, with
Dream
the,
On. Yeah, it was a
guy.
It was a guy that was would think in old black and white movie clips
and TV shows.
Yeah, and old TV shows, and then all of a sudden, a girl would take her shirt off and they'd make out, and then it'd be movie clips, and then more.
They kind of stopped that later on. They stopped that.
And then they took all the nudity out and then just ran it as that. And,
really?
And no one
watched
that.
It.
No one watched that at all. But I think that's the only like sitcom that I can think of that
it wasn't
had
a bad
nudity.
Show.
It wasn't a bad show.
And what I liked about that show is it ended as it started.
Like how? With no one watching?
Do you want me to – I can spoil well, – because –
Yeah,
okay.
Spoil the,
in
show
the show
from like the 80s.
In the show
– And then I'll spoil how Herman's head ended.
The guy is divorced from his wife.
Okay.
Right?
because but he's still friends with her. He's still friends with her because they have things. All right, yeah.
They're still connected because they're the son.
Yeah.
So then her husband dies. And through circumstances, he and his wife get back together.
Okay.
So they have this relationship. The very last episode of the show, you see the husband in a coma. His hand moves. He's starting to come awake. So it can go in a cycle. The dead husband comes back to life. So the series can start again with him divorced from his wife because she's married to her back to her husband. You see what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I just like that idea that it can be a cycle.
All right. Land of the Lost did that as well.
Yes, that's right.
I have a question.
Okay. Well, that's not really your job, but okay.
Is it as pertinent as what I brought up? And can you pronounce pertinent as badly as I just did?
Pertinent. It's not as pertinent. Okay. But all this talk about frontal nudity and genitalia, it's got me thinking.
Why are we wearing all these clothes?
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Well, when I was a youngster in Toronto, you could watch the CBC and you'd see the beachcombers and, you know, all the frontal nudity and that.
Oh, my goodness.
You could see the whole
log. A lot of chest hair.
And you could watch what else was on CBC. Tommy Hunter.
No idea. Oh,
Pig Hunter. And Whistle, whatever.
I never heard of it.
Pig and Whistle.
And, yeah. And then on a Saturday, you know, when the hockey game was over and it was like, well, what do I do now? You'd switch over what was actually Channel 25 then, which was the French CBC.
I know where this is going.
Radio Canada. You do, don't you?
I certainly do.
And you'd invariably have a Saturday night see lots of nudity.
Sure would.
And so nice. It's not like we're picking up some strange signal from another planet.
Yeah.
This is our national broadcaster, but the French version.
It is like another planet.
Well, why? How come the French were so cool with nudity and stuff? And on the CBC, the Radio Canada,
I think
the English CBC, not at all. Like, I know we have cultural differences.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not finished asking my question.
It sounded
Ian.
Like you were.
Yeah, no, I thought you were finished.
I want to expand on it a little bit more,
sure.
And then I'm going to pass the chalice to you.
probably chalice was the worst.
Yeah, that's
baton good. Would have been good.
Yeah,
torch would have been good. Torch. Chalice, not really good. Okay, keep going.
Not feeling.
Really sounds like you're done. But okay, go ahead.
I
add some more water to that concentrated juice.
I am done now.
Are you good?
I can't remember.
It's good. All right, that's awkward. Don't worry. We've got a program called Truncate Silence that we use to reduce the awkward silence. Here's what I... Okay, I'm going to just do two parts real quick on this.
Yes.
Okay, if you're...
Go ahead.
If you have...
Ian, to you.
You son of a bitch. If you have a mandate to show French films, there's only so many Canadian French films, so you've got to start reaching to Europe. And Europe, pants off, dance off. Who fucking cares? You know, you want to see these? How you like it? So that's where you get them from. So what are you going to do? Not show films?
Yeah.
So you get the European films, all of a sudden, hubbity-hubbity.
That's right.
So if you're, say, from Quebec... At a young age, as a young man, you go, hey, you know what I like? Watching movies.
Yeah.
I really like watching movies.
Uh-huh.
So as things progress, all of a sudden, films in Quebec start getting people going to them because as young people, you go, hubbada, hubbada, hubbada. And so the French movie industry, the French film industry in Canada actually makes money. It's a good industry. And the reason that we don't have that in the rest of Canada is we were watching boring, no offense to those of you who make Canadian films.
There were some
dull Canadian things we were forced to sit through.
Sure.
Whereas in, Quebec, a lot of films about, I remember a lot of films about artists. Mm-hmm. And their models and having long conversations with their models while painting. And you know what? As a kid, just long enough for me.
Part of the reason that the French film industry is, or the Quebecois film industry is successful is kind of a closed market.
Mm-hmm.
It's Quebecois, which is different than French, different than French spoken in France.
And nudity.
And it has
nudity.
Breasts.
And
yes.
Nudity.
I have seen 5 minutes of many of those films. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Full 5 minutes.
That is true. Has your stuff been translated into French?
Yes, it has.
What's it called in French?
Yeah, what's your show called there?
Robert Margot?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh. Bob Ed Margaret, I think.
Well, okay, and like you've also got a show called Ricky Sprocket, Showbiz Boy. Any idea what that is translated?
It's been translated into French and Spanish. I know that, but I haven't had an opportunity to see those episodes.
Okay. El Toreador del Moviolas.
I believe those are still on the TV as well. If you want to watch those, I occasionally run across them on the TV.
Monkey.
Do you?
I think so. Aren't they?
Awesome.
I believe they are. Ooh. You should know this. It's your damn show.
They don't tell me anything.
You know what? Let me just say something that's really weird about my life. It's like when you're a little kid, if you think of like, I got a friend who's on TV, yeah. you would watch the show all the time because yeah. your friend's on TV,
yeah.
clearly. I've got friends who are on TV. I never watch their shows. I never watch their shows.
What
you know,
are
why
you?
Don't I watch
what?
Their damn shows? I haven't watched every one of your shows. Why don't I damn well watch their shows? I've
Do you
got
know
friends
what?
On Stargate.
I'm
going to
sit you down.
I got friends on like all sorts of shows. I don't watch them. I'm an asshole.
Condescending fuck.
The name of the episode.
Yes.
That is the name of the
I'm
episode.
I'm not saying that to anyone in particular. I'm just saying this is the name of the episode. Well, we do have some. We do have a guest on the show that I want to point
Thank
out.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding Ian of
Ian.
That.
Look, you got your free soda.
Who won the Oscar? I have held the Oscar.
Branco.
It's rather weighty. I think
you've held his Oscar.
Yes.
That sounds phallic.
Yeah.
That sounds like you're riding the snake.
I've held a shiny object.
Ooh, madam.
And
have you polished my Oscar?
I've polished your Oscar many times. But I just wanted because I think people would like people who listen to the podcast, all four of them, would be interested in what it was like to go to the Oscars. Like, let's talk about that.
Just going?
I just want to put that like just a general kind of anecdotal question.
Well, you've gone more than once.
What was it like? But
yes.
to go as someone who was up for an Oscar.
He was up for an Oscar more than once.
You're up for an Oscar more than once. But how was it? Okay, well, let's talk about going to the Oscars then. Got to deal with my...
That's a terrible setup, by the way, Dave.
Condescending
fuck.
Just go,
hey, talk about that. That's not how you do a lead-in.
That is how you do a lead-in. That's totally how you do it.
No, let me show you how to do a lead-in. Okay. Hey, Hot D.
Yes, Ian.
Spill the beans, bro.
You got it, sister.
That's way better than mine. How come I couldn't do that? God damn it.
I'm going to...
No wonder this,
now I'm
no wonder this episode is entitled...
Make with the fucking anecdote.
No wonder this episode is entitled Condescending Fuck. Go on, dear guest.
What was the question again?
The question was, you have gone to the Oscars. What the fuck was it like?
Well...
Do you rent a tux
was,
or do you buy?
Did you rent
a tux?
I rent, but if I'd known I was going
to okay,
go
everyone,
more
well,
than
thank
once,
you for listening to Sneaky Dragon for this week.
I might have bought one. I don't have tuxes. Do tuxes go out of style? Like it's like
no,
oh,
tuxes can never go to style.
Is that such an old looking tux?
No, you just look suave.
Yeah,
suave and debonair.
So I should have bought one. But
you should
I
have bought
I
one.
Rented.
Mistake. Mistake number one.
Mistake number one.
This
We're
is
gonna
obviously
go through all the mistakes.
This is a disaster in the looming.
We you know going there was it's like it's fucking amazing. What I can't say. Oh, you know actually when you're there it's really nothing. It's
but what's it like? You get there.
There's red carpet.
There's a red carpet.
There's people taking pictures of you. You have to turn to them and say I'm not who you think you are. You don't I'm not who.
You think I am?
I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
For that.
No problem.
Because otherwise you wouldn't be taking a picture of me. I'm nobody. I've made a short animated film. I'm not a movie star.
Do they turn away in disgust? Or?
No, they go, it doesn't matter. You're on the red carpet.
Yeah.
We want to take your picture.
You
yeah.
just walk by, go, the moon landing was fake. They go, what did you just say? And just keep walking.
Anything like that. Yeah.
So you walk along the red carpet. Then you walk
you
up
go
towards
in,
the
and you
center?
Are hobnobbing with the bigwigs.
Okay.
You know, I did go to the loo and have a pee beside Bob Hope.
Nice.
Yeah. And
so he was host then, I take it.
No. It wasn't that long ago.
And when he was done, did he swing his club?
Yeah.
Hello.
Did you polish his Oscar? That's what we were trying to get to.
No, but he was in the urinal right beside me, and I said, oh.
He's that small.
Hi, Bob. No, not in the – sorry. Oh, in the washroom at the urinal.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Mr. Literal.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we should call him, Mr. Literal.
All right.
And
Mr. Literal.
And I said, oh, hi, Bob. And he said, I remember very distinctly, he said, how you doing?
Nice.
You know, we're peeing at the same time. So that was exciting.
Nice.
It's a moment of companionship.
And
he was probably peeing out a more valuable liquid. He probably drank something more valuable than you did.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
That is very cool, though.
And then there was the whole... seat fillers, you know, you get up and people run in if you need to go to the loo or
yeah,
whatever during the
yeah.
show. It's a long show.
Loo,
you
see, you could tell he lived in England. Jolly old.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Look at that. I just threw that in.
Yeah.
Just so naturally.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Right.
Jolly good, David.
Yeah. What a load of rubbish.
When people say skip to Maloo, does that mean skipping to the loo?
No.
My darling.
No.
Okay. So the seat fillers. Now, a seat filler has to be someone with your exact ass size. So they have to measure that in advance.
Yeah.
So otherwise, you're going to be thrown off when you actually go back.
When you go on the red carpet, there are people measuring your ass.
Part of it. So when you get up to go to the loo.
Yes.
To go see the paintings in the Louvre, you... Someone runs down and fills your spot. Like it has to be really fast. Full.
And
so that's just down in the front area where the cameras would be looking.
Mm-hmm. Just so it looks like everybody's
always
there.
Always
because you go to the bar or something and there's people hanging around the bar because they don't want to watch the whole show and yet the seats are all full. How do they do that? They have seat fillers.
Okay.
And the seat fillers are usually children of executives.
Like, oh, really?
It's like, hey, do you want to be a seat filler at the Oscars? Because it's like, yeah, why not? Like,
so would these be teenagers or young kids? Or
yeah, maybe 18 to 20, young people. Or maybe someone older, but maybe they're a secretary or someone that has a job. You know, it's like, come to the Oscars to do this, you get to be at the Oscars.
This is the executive's kind of payoff for the affair he's been having.
It's like a Hollywood perk.
We've been having something on the side. I don't want to tell my wife. How about if I'll let you fill seats at the Oscars?
Yeah, years when I haven't been nominated, I tried to apply for the seat filling job.
Oh.
And no success whatsoever.
No.
You aren't
polishing the Oscar of an executive.
Exactly.
So you better get
on it. Not to interrupt this, but just a quick little side thing. There's a very funny podcast called Doug Loves Movies.
Okay.
Doug Benson is the host. And what he used to do as a young man, around 10 or 11, was he loved movies and he had a tux. And so he would go to the Academy Awards and just go in. And no one suspected a child in a tux did not belong there.
Yeah.
So he went to multiple Oscar ceremonies as a child.
Because he figured it must be some child actor that's involved.
And this isn't just a kid off the street who's in a tux who's trying to like bull his way in. Because why would that? That makes no sense.
That's really clever.
Okay. Yeah. So now
they're changing the name of his show to Doug Loves Colorado. But anyway.
But sorry to be interrupting you, and we will continue to do so. Stop looking at the mic like that. You're an adult. You're a grown ass man.
I can do that. No one can see me doing it except you.
This is radio, Ian.
I'm getting testy.
You're breaking the eighth wall.
Is there an eighth wall?
Yeah, radio.
All right. Now, what year that you're talking about, what movie won for Best Picture the year you're talking about so we can sort of set the stage?
Oh, let's see. What do you mean? Which one?
Okay, let's go the first one that you were the one that was the loser year.
Loser year.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
Yeah, I blacked it all out. what was up for Best? I think maybe Out of Africa.
Oh.
Gosh, that's funny that I can't remember. I certainly know what was up the year we won.
Okay, what was playing the year you won?
I can't remember.
You can't remember what was playing the year you won?
Oh. Yeah. It was the winner was Forrest Gump, and my favorite that didn't win was Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, should have won.
And John Travolta was there.
Oh wow!
And well, you know, it's the Oscars. They're all there. They're all there. Cold beverage day.
Bali D.
And who was the host on the year that you won?
Or Mr.
Liberal. Host of the Oscars?
Well, I can tell you that because I remember, but do you know? Take a guess.
I'm going to guess.
Pub quiz. Because you guys are brilliant at pub quizzes. I know that because I've seen you do it. And everything that comes up, it's like, I don't know. And then you know. So
I'm going to take an easy guess. Go Billy Crystal. That's basically betting on black.
That's easy. And I'm disappointed in
you. I'm gonna change.
Work a little harder.
I'm gonna say David Letterman.
Ding 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 ding.
Wow, damn it! That was my first guess, and
you didn't go UNC. You should have gone with your gut.
Ah, yeah. Oh, damn it!
It was the.
I thought Letterman did
Oprah,
a fine job.
Uma Oprah. That was
fine. He did a fine job.
That was a great Oscars. I thought. Yeah, he was good. So when you're seeing it live,
yes,
versus when you see it on television, is live? Does it seem more like how would I describe it? Like not working, You know what I mean? Like, does it seem more stilted and more?
It's awesome. I want to disappoint everybody and say it's a big Hollywood. You know, it's cardboard.
No, no, I don't mean
everybody
that.
Everybody looks
mean that.
Like, you know, you see their faces and the beautiful actresses actually look really ugly.
No,
in
no,
real
I don't.
Life.
I don't mean
like that.
I'm
all.
Sure it's
awesome.
Awesome,
guys. Stop fighting.
I just mean, is the show itself? Does it have like breakdowns? Does it have long years where there's long gaps where things should be happening that aren't happening?
No, they really perform the whole thing for the audience. There's a huge audience there, right? It's like a couple of thousand people or something. So they do it like a live performance that is meant to be for them. It's a good show. It's long.
Yeah.
You know, there's some boring bits, of course.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
It's great.
All good. And then there's the dinner afterwards, which is great.
So the dinner, you get to sit with other people that, or do they kind of group you into what you're nominated for? So you're sitting with other animators who are all mad at you.
We sit with other, sat with other animators.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, we just went.
Who are drawing mean caricatures of you on a napkin?
The wiener.
Yeah.
Now my question, is like, okay, so you go up and you give your speech.
Yeah.
It's a lovely moment, and you go, this is heavier than I thought. And then the lady comes out, and she goes, not that way, this way. And then you start walking towards that way.
Yeah.
What happens once you start walking towards that way? What occurs?
But wait, before you get there.
Oh, fuck it.
Oh, Cole Beverage Dave.
Just killing all the momentum.
Bali D has to step in. I just want to ask you, when you're doing your speech, is there like an indicator of time? Is there like a flashing light that flashes faster and faster, faster?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so and it's 30 seconds and it counts down. And
does it make you nervous?
When it gets to the bottom. Yeah. When it gets to the bottom, it says, your time is up. Get off the stage.
Is that what it says? Literally.
I can't remember if it's actually those words, get off the stage, but it's something very aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
To say, you know, you're done.
Uh-huh.
And it's flashing at you. So it is scary. And I actually, in my speech, one of the things I said, because I got up stage and saw that thing counting, and it was so intimidating.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said was, I think I'm just going to stand here and watch this countdown. And then I went, no, I'm not going to do that. Because it was weird, because it's going 29, 28, 27, and it's flies.
Yeah.
They really, and they send you letters beforehand saying, less is more. You know, you don't need to thank your agent and your mother and your...
Blah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, they're like, just... Yeah, and now after we were there since then, they've I don't know if they do that now, but they did for a time. They had an award, like a prize for the shortest speech, and whoever gives the shortest speech gets a big. At that time, it was a big like 42-inch plasma TV, which was a big deal. Now you know you can find them in dumpsters, but at that time that was a big deal. And a friend of ours.
Do you know you can't watch those in Colorado?
What?
You can't watch plasma TVs in like
altitudes. Hold that thought. I was just going to say that a friend of ours who won an Oscar and got the TV, and he was from England, and made a wonderful film called Mother and Daughter. If you have a chance to see it. Very painterly. What's going on? he gave the TV to a children's home in Los Angeles instead of carting it back to England where it wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, you're a nice guy. It's
still a nice thing to do.
Still nice.
What's your Colorado bit? What were you talking
about? Oh, no, I was just going to say that. Plasma TVs don't work at high elevation so that you can't watch it if you live in... Yeah, yeah.
So like
you
live in Denver. It's all LCD in Colorado.
You have to have LCD or LED, yeah.
That's another reason why I don't live there.
When you're doing your speech, I always thought like when they start playing the music, the thing to do isn't to start rushing. The thing to do is make your speech...
It's to start rapping.
To make your speech go with the music.
Yeah.
So start singing your speech to the music. Then the louder they go, the louder you can go.
And
it
I
looks
want
like
to
it's...
thank you for that.
Yeah, just
you're forgetting
going.
One important thing.
10.
When they turn down the microphone.
Oh, that's true. Well, then you bring your own.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Hello, beatbox.
Bring your own. Bring
back
your own
to my question mic. From 15 minutes ago.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you are leaving with the pretty lady on your arm.
Yeah.
And they take
Talking
you...
about my wife?
Yes.
Yes.
And then there is the woman actress model on the other. And you're walking...
Security guard.
Right. You're walking out. What happens?
Okay, I got a story about that. Is this a good time to tell that?
Yeah.
Or later in the bar?
I think we should save that for later when we're doing our...
tell the good story.
We're taking notes.
So
we were a little nervous, and Allison, I made the film with my wife Allison Snowden, and so we were both there, and she was quite anxious about going up on stage and having to give a speech in front of a billion people. So she was like, "I need a drink. We have to go out in the lobby and have a drink." So we went out to the lobby and had a whiskey. I remember, as I recall, and. Actually, this isn't too much of a segue, bumped into a cinematographer named Billy Williams, who is an Oscar-winning cinematographer, who was a tutor at our film school in England. And he was there, and it was like, oh, hi, remember me? You were tutoring me at film school? Well, hey, hi. Well, that was pretty cool. And then we had to go back to get our seats because our category was coming up, and they wouldn't let us in.
Oh.
So there was a security guard at the door, and he goes, "I'm sorry, you can't go in because you have to wait till a break."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, but our category could be coming up. We have to be in there." And he's like, "I'm sorry, I can't let you." And I was about to like, okay, I was going to take him down, all right? I was just going to grab him by the bow tie and just pummel him. Just take him down. Just like sweater over the head like in a hockey game and just pumping him.
Yeah.
And I was just about to do that. And then suddenly there
was a very Canadian reaction.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There was a break. And he went, "Oh, you're in luck." And I said, "No, pal, you're in luck." So we went in.
Then he didn't let you in again. Breaks over.
That's right.
Goes down over there.
So we went in and we took our seat.
You only had one, only gave you only one seat. Yeah. So Elsa had to sit
took
in
our
lap.
Seats.
They make Canadians sit on each other's
took
laps.
Our seats. Mr. Pedantic. Took our seats.
Mr. Literal. I think we've established that.
I'm Mr. Literal.
Literal Dave.
You're right. It was literal.
Yeah. Mr. Literal.
Yeah.
I can't say the word, but I am it.
And sat down and then got the Oscar. And when Ian was asking what happens on the stage, okay, so our Oscar was given to us. Do you remember? Because, of course, you would have been watching because you would have wanted to see
I was watching.
What? Yeah. Would you remember who presented the Oscar to us?
I don't remember.
Who was it? Was it David Letterman?
No, it wouldn't have been.
Crystal?
That would have made sense.
Why don't you say Billy Crystal?
Why don't you kiss my ass? Why don't you just fucking tell the story? Sorry. Guys, I'm cranky. I'm sorry.
Ian.
Let me think. Who would have presented? So it would have been someone probably comedic. Robin Williams. I'm going to go Robin Williams.
I'm going to go Billy Crystal.
I'm going to go Fred Flintstone.
You're getting warmer. Ian's getting warmer.
I'm going to go Bart Simpson.
I'm going to go Homer Simpson.
I'm going to go Ren and Stimpy.
No, that's television.
Beavis and Butthead.
Movies. Oh, okay.
Oh, movies.
I'm going to go.
Well, actually, that's a bit of a.
That's not fair. I'm going to go John Wayne.
A red herring.
I'm going to go.
A dead guy? What?
I'm going to go Red Adair. Red Adairing.
Okay. This is.
I'm going to go Little
Mermaid.
I'm
going to cut this short.
Can we keep guessing?
It wasn't. No, that's enough now.
Okay.
I thought that would be a good segue, like a little guessing, but
sure.
It's not worked out.
No, it's not worked out at all.
It's never
it usually
has.
Usually doesn't.
Okay, so no.
Can we like list on this show?
The person that awarded the Oscar to us was actually Bugs Bunny.
Oh.
In animation form. Okay. So they can't make animation live, at least they couldn't at that time. Uh-huh. So it was animated in advance. And there was a guy that's the son of Mel Blanc, who, of course, voiced Bugs Bunny originally, in back behind the stage, doing the voice live.
Mm-hmm. Brian Blank.
Is it?
No.
Oh. It was Phil.
Right.
Phil in the Blank.
His middle name was in the?
So
we're so proud of him.
He must get that all the time.
Guys, I got to go over here and high-five myself for a second.
Excuse me while Ian goes and pats himself in the back for a while.
So Bugs Bunny presented the award to us. But actually, because he wasn't really, I would break this to news to the audience, but
he wasn't
this
there?
Cartoon character wasn't actually on there. You had to look at the monitors to see him.
Yeah.
So he's up on stage going, and the winner is.
Yeah.
That's my Bugs Bunny.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. And they said the name of our film, but how did they know? Because really, and this is something you should know as well, no one knows who wins the Oscar until the moment the envelope is open. Not anyone. So that's actually true. So how did they animate something when they didn't know, right? Well, they didn't know, but when he opens the envelope, he flips the top of the envelope over and it covers his mouth.
Oh, okay.
And he's reading the envelope like this with his mouth covered. And so then Mel Blanc's son, whose name we can't...
Phil.
Phil's Blank.
Phil Blank.
Phil, yeah. he said the name of our film. And then we went up on stage and accepted it, not from a cartoon character who wasn't there, but from the aforementioned pretty
name,
lady.
His actual name is Phil Norman David Blank. So Phil Andy Blank.
Cold beverage, David. Really getting off on that one. Okay.
Remember to hit like on Facebook if you like that joke.
thank you
just
for that.
Just hit it for anything.
Thank you for that smattering of applause for one person.
So then we got the Oscar from a pretty lady, did our little speech, got scared by the counting down clock thing, went off to the back behind the curtain to go where that lady leads you off.
Yeah,
you try and go the other way, and they, of course, invariably lead you the other way. And you go behind the stage, and then there was Mel Blanc's son, and he said, congratulations, would you like the envelope? And he gave us the envelope. So we actually still have the envelope that he opened behind the curtain. No one saw him do it because it was the animated version. And he gave that to us, which was very nice. And then we walked around a whole, circuitous back behind to the press corps. And there's a big stage with tons of flashes, photographers taking pictures. And you're thinking, why are you taking pictures of us? No one really. And, of course, someone wants to because in Canada or whatever, they go, Canada got an Oscar and that picture is used in the paper. So, we go to that. And then we go out there and around the back and we have to get back to our seats. But we have to go back into the lobby, back to the doorway where the guy wouldn't let us in earlier. And we're standing there. We've got the Oscars and we're going, see?
Nice. And what did he say? What did he say? Was he like,
Then you went to the washroom where Bob Hope was still peeing. It takes old people a long time.
A long
you
time.
Show that to him. He shows you his.
He said, nice.
I think Bob, sadly, I think Bob Hope was dead by then. This was
by the end of that show?
It was an earlier
how come they never
Oscars
came out of the time?
When I met Bob Hope.
No wonder everyone was mad at David Letterman. He killed Bob Hope.
Yeah. For
who
sport.
Was I can't
Billy
even
Crystal,
remember.
Perhaps?
I think it might have been Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
that's too bad that your first time has to be Whoopi Goldberg.
That's too bad.
She's got an Oscar. She's got
she
an
does.
Emmy. She's got a Tony. She's one of those.
The Triple Crown.
Whatever that's called when you've got all four of them.
It's called pity.
Grammy.
Book.
She's got a Grammy.
It's called
as well.
The pity.
Does
book.
She a
I
Grammy?
Believe, I think so.
I don't think so.
And I think it's like a spoken album.
And a Grandpa.
Oh,
Grammys aren't the hardest thing to get.
Hey, there's so many
guys.
Grammy
let's all
categories.
Just get a Grammy by this time next year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do that.
All right. So okay, are you done making movies?
I don't think
then?
We can. I don't think we can top that story.
All right. But I want to just ask the future. Okay. What's the future? So are you done making movies now? You're done. You're just retiring on your laurels. You're just sitting on your laurels. It's over.
That's it. What's there? How can you follow that?
Exactly. That's what you do. You spike the ball. You say "fuck you, world." You're done.
You're done.
Well, we did.
You know what? Your daughter's going to be like a big star now. You just coast on
what's
that.
The point? Yeah.
Now you're Michael Jackson's dad.
We've created our spawn, and she will. We pass the torch. What did we pass?
The chalice.
The chalice.
We pass the chalice.
And
we pass the duchy on the right hand side.
You can tell David that you spent some time in the land of our, the mother tongue, the England. You just obviously.
Where have you spent time?
That was all the slam on him talking, and then your tongue just went every direction in your mouth. Oh boy.
Okay.
So,
well, on that note,
yeah,
I'd like to end the show, condescending fuck, for this week.
But I hope you do more stuff, and I think you probably will.
I have more stories.
Yeah, you have stories to tell.
I don't.
Okay.
He doesn't have anything left
but
to say.
No, of course you do, and I hope you will come back on the show again because we're we are chums. We socialize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there you go. So
what do we do once a month?
What do we do?
Yeah.
We hunt people for sport.
Yes. The most dangerous game.
Actually, the most dangerous game is bears with chainsaw hands.
Bears with chainsaw hands?
Yeah, you strap some chainsaws
they
onto
are
bears.
Not, no, they're not dangerous at all.
What?
Not dangerous at all.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll see you at the end of the month.
Lay a trap, get them to roll down a hill, end of bear. end of
Leia Trapp. Wasn't she in The Sound of Music?
Yes, she was.
Ha-ha!
There you go.
Nice. High five.
Oh, let's
non-ironic high five.
Let's end on that.
Okay. By the way, everybody, if you're going to be in England next week, I'm there too. Why not show up and say hi to me?
You're going to be at the Pret-a-Manger in Leicester Square.
Oh, sweet Lord, that'd be delicious. I hope they have Pret-a-Mangers in Newcastle. I hope they have them in Manchester, and
they're everywhere.
God, I didn't even think about that, but I love those sandwiches so much.
And they're at the airport, so you can stock up as soon as you arrive.
Do they have the croque monsieur? Is that what you like to make?
I don't know what you're talking about. What's that mean? That means a croc in your mouth. Mouthful of crocodile. Is that an Australian thing?
It's a croc. It's a shoe. The croc shoe in your mouth.
Okay, that sounds fine. But anyway, if you're there, at the Thought Balloon Festival, I'm going to be there with my lovely wife, Pia Guerra, co-creator of Why the Last Man. She'll be there as well. And we're going to be doing signings in Newcastle at Traveling Man and also in Manchester at Traveling Man comic store. So come say hi if you were there.
That's fantastic.
I will.
And if you're Canadian, why not listen to The Irrelevant Show? I write some sketches for that.
Yes, he does.
Anything you want to plug? Coolie Cool, David Cool?
Bali D?
Cool Literal, Cool a Cool?
Anything I want to plug? No.
Okay. Hot Dave, Hottie D, Hotsy Totsy. Anything you want to promote?
Do you want to plug anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Days on Mars,
we'll put a link for that.
Their work. And I believe, they got a show coming up fairly soon at the Cosmic Zoo, I think, right?
No, it's on commercial at the...
Well, I was completely wrong about that. Sorry about that.
Something or other.
On commercial. We'll put a link up
for
that as well.
Is it Havana's?
No.
No, it's not. Oh, God. This is great. This is great radio.
You know what? You know what? A good dad would know.
Yeah.
Let's just admit that much.
Let's just say that right now.
You know? And I'm sorry you guys didn't have
a chance. I make no claims about being a good dad.
Could we just do 30 seconds of you guys talking hockey? Because we very seldom get a chance to do that. So just 30 seconds.
Are you a hockey fan?
Yes. 30 seconds of you guys talking hockey. Go.
What hockey? There's a hockey strike.
I know, but talk about why that bugs you. Go for 30 seconds.
Why does it bug us? Because the owners are taking hockey away from us.
What do you think, Hot Dave?
Owners, Gary Bettman sucks. He's a complete asshole. He's like, he planned this whole lockout from the start. He had no intention of negotiating any deal.
Yep.
And he could care less about the fans.
The fans or the players. Yeah. I agree with you. So what are you filling it in? Like, what do you watch instead of hockey? Do you have an alternate sport?
No. I don't like much sport otherwise. I'm playing hockey. Well, I was playing hockey before this.
There we go.
I like CFL football, so I'm filling in my
Okay, well, let's not get into that. Okay, we want to talk a little hockey.
Guys, sick.
There you guys, look.
Well, you grew up in Toronto. You didn't have ever had a good team. I mean, we had the BC Lions.
Yeah,
we almost had some real men listening to this show.
Sit for $5 in the Nelly's Chip Zone and watch. And then, of course, you could move around and where other people weren't.
Are you a Canucks fan, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good, we're back to
this. Do you support a team that's never won anything?
Yes.
Sorry.
Of course I do. I'm a fan. You support your team no matter what happens to them. It'd be ridiculous just to run out just because your team hasn't won anything for a long time. I mean, it'd be ridiculous for you to give up hope.
That's ridiculous.
Speaking of giving up hope, remember how Bob Hope died after you saw him pee?
I
7 days. And then, boom, gone.
Just gone. It's like the ring.
That's right. It's like the ring. All right, let's wrap up.
Okay, everybody. I want to say goodbye to you all.
Thank you, David Fine, for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the man coke.
Thank you for Pia Guerra behind us, trying to be quiet the whole time, even though she had work to do. Yay! Thanks. No, you were fine. And thanks to all of our loved ones that make our lives good.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Did I ever tell you that Mrs. McKee had 23 sons and she named them all D? Well, she did, and there wasn't a smart thing to do. You see, when she wants one and calls out Yoo-hoo, come into the house, Dave, she doesn't get one. All 23 Daves of hers come on the run. This makes things quite difficult at the McCabe's. As you can imagine, with so many Daves, and often she will wishes that when they were born, she had named one of them Bodkin Van Horn. And one of them was Puss, and one of them Snim, and one of them Hotshot, and one Sonny Jim, and one of them Shadrack, and one of them Blinky, and one of them Stuffy, and another one Stinky. Thank you.